Well, as warmer temperatures make their appearance, so does the allergy season and all of the less than pleasant side effects that go along with that. Today on The Larry Miller Show, we'll explore treatments that could ease your suffering, plus answer your prescription questions. Hi, I'm John Munson, in for Larry Miller. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. My guests today in the studio are Drs. John Dopp and Casey Gallimore. They're both associate professors at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Pharmacy. So how do you deal with allergy season? What medications or remedies do you use to ease your allergy symptoms? Join our conversation by calling us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can email us, talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Post on our Facebook page, look for The Larry Miller Show, or you can even tweet at us. We're at L. Miller Show. Glad to have you with us, John and Casey. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. We appreciate being here.
So, John, we'll start with you. What are some examples of what we're running into, and what are some examples of treatments that are commonly used during allergy season?
So allergy season can be a long season, and it initiates generally in the spring. We see a spike in grass pollen and tree pollen in the early to late part of spring and into summer. And so individuals who have problems and sensitivities to those start to see their allergy symptoms emerge and then peak, and then they continue, unfortunately, through the summer, late into August and into September. We see ragweed pollen spiking at that time, and so allergy symptoms for individuals who are sensitive to ragweed continue through September and into the fall. So if an individual is unfortunate enough to have sensitivity to all of those, their allergy season can be quite long. Fortunately, I guess for allergies compared to some medical conditions, we do have a good armamentarium of medications that can be used not only to help prevent or keep symptoms under pretty good control, but to provide acute relief when individuals have flares or exacerbations of their allergy symptoms. Everything from oral antihistamines or nasal antihistamines to nasal steroid sprays and eye drops that have steroids in them, oral medications, oral antihistamines. There's really a great selection of different medications that can be used to help patients keep them under control and rescue them, so to speak, for acute symptoms.
Well, certainly, if we believe all the advertising we see on television, allergy suffering ought to have been banished from the face of the earth. We certainly get a lot of messages about various cures and treatments. Casey, are there non-medication options for treating allergies, and if so, what are they?
Sure. The main non-medication options would be simple allergen avoidance. So trying to pinpoint, John mentioned a lot of the different pollens and allergens that can affect people. But trying to identify what are your triggers. So when are the allergies occurring? Is it in a certain location, environment, a certain time of the year, a certain temperature? What kind of things are around you? And if you can identify some of those triggers, those are things to try to avoid. And when you identify those triggers, there are good information resources out there to help figure out how to do some of that. Another non-pharmacological thing would be nasal saline washes. So if someone didn't want to try medication, those are things you can buy in the pharmacy, the products to help you with that. And basically, it's just trying to rinse the nasal mucosa.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to give the phone number again, and then we've got some callers who want to join us. Let's go 800-642-1234, the number to call if you've got questions about prescriptions. And particularly right now we're focused on allergies, but I think we could probably open it up to other questions about interacting with your pharmacist and different kinds of prescriptions. Let's not just focus the entire time on allergies. Kathy in Reedsburg is with us, though, and Kathy has an allergy question. Kathy, go ahead.
Good morning. I last spring, my son read an article on dandelions for treating allergies. And he picked the dandelion flowers, breaded and fried it, and he ate it multiple times. Now, last spring was supposed to be an allergy tsunami, but he had very mild problems. So is there some truth in that?
Wow, that's one I hadn't heard before, eating dandelions. Who wants to tackle that one?
I think you got us there, too, Kathy. That's not anything that we've heard of, at least not that's been systematically investigated and provided good evidence for. I guess it's great news for your son, and certainly there's probably very little harm as long as the dandelions haven't been sprayed with herbicides or anything for him. Trying that again, there may be purified dandelion extracts somewhere that might be safer, although there may be not. That's not a common supplement that we hear of. So I guess you have me stumped on that one.
Well, Dr. Gallimore, that would seem to fall under the non-medication option for treatment of allergies.
It would fall under the non-medication option. One thing to keep in mind with herbal products in general, people often think that they're non-medication, natural products, and therefore always healthy. Remember, they do cause a reaction in the body similar to what a drug might do, and so you just want to make sure with herbal medications of any kind that whether they're going to interact with any of your current medications, whether they could negatively interact with any of the medical conditions that you currently have. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I always tell patients when it comes to herbal medications. I can do my best to evaluate, looking at studies, how effective they might be. And there's varying levels of evidence for lots of herbal medications. But one of the main things is, are they going to be safe for the patient? And then also sometimes the cost, not so much with, picking and eating dandelions, but some of those herbal medications can be really costly. So making sure that they're likely to be effective and safe before you're spending the money.
Sure. Kathy, thanks. Thanks for the call. We'll go next to Tiffany, who's with us in Madison. Tiffany, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. So I guess my comment was, I've had pretty severe seasonal allergies since I was about 7 years old, and we've tried the avoidance, and we tried, a host of different combinations of medications, all not super effective. Spent most of my life looking like I had pink eye in the spring and the fall. But the allergy immunotherapy shots were really, really helpful to me. I didn't finally connect with an allergist that suggested this until I was in my 30s, unfortunately. But since starting them almost 5 years ago, it's been night and day different. So.
Okay. So a shot as opposed to taking medications. Dr. Gallimore, what about that?
Good point. I didn't mention those in the brief overview of the various classes of medications that I touched on briefly, but the allergy shots are very effective, and they're generally not used as first line. So Tiffany's story is very typical, whereas she was unsuccessful with the more traditional first line approaches, and unfortunately she didn't have any success, and she had to go the immunotherapy route, which tend to be more, getting a shot is definitely more invasive than using a nasal spray or an oral medication, but they're effective, I think, in up to about 85% of individuals. And so they can be tailored for the various allergy profiles that an individual has, the grass or the ragweed. They have different allergy shots for each of those seasonal allergies. And so they are very effective, but again, they're not the first line option. And they're not without risks. They a lot of times when they administer them, people can have severe reactions. Almost, it sounds counterintuitive, but an allergic reaction. They can have swelling of the lips, the face, the tongue, and they need to keep an epinephrine shot, an EpiPen, on hand in case that happens. But I'm glad that that didn't happen for Tiffany, and it worked very well. It's definitely an option if you're under the care of an expert physician, an allergist. Immunologists, they're the ones that can determine when that's the right step for you.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Gallimore, would you like to add anything to that?
No, I think John summed that up very well.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take another call. This time we'll go to Mishicot, where Bob is on the line. Bob, thanks for joining us on the Larry Miller Show today.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking the call. So my question is a little different. I am kind of wondering, I hear a lot about allergies, and I have a lot of friends that are affected by them, and I never really understood what exactly, I mean, I know what the external symptoms of an allergy are, but what's going on in the body that creates this distress, and what exactly is the distress internally? Is there some sort of biological cascade that's initiated by some chemical or physical irritant, or what is actually happening in an allergic reaction?
Great question, Bob. So what is going on here?
That is a great question, because you hear allergy, that term, thrown around a lot. And it is a biological cascade that happens in the body. So when people come in contact with an antigen or a trigger substance for them, and that can vary from person to person, it actually triggers an immune response. The thing to remember with an allergy is the first time you're exposed to it, you won't necessarily get the allergic response. Your body has to recognize that and set that cascade in place. And then the next time you'd come into contact with that antigen, that's when it can set it off. There's a whole cascade, but one of the end products is your body releases a lot of inflammatory mediators and other chemicals. One of those is histamine, which is one of the substances that is responsible for a lot of the itching that you get, the runny nose, the congestion. John, do you have anything else you wanted to add with that?
No, I think you nicely set it up there. It is, Bob, the wording you used was actually right on, and it is a cascade, and it triggers a sequence of events that create a series of changes that cascades to worse and worse symptoms. And one of the other aspects of it that Casey mentioned was that the first time you're exposed to it, you may not experience symptoms, or your symptoms may be mild. With seasonal allergies, with an allergic response, each subsequent exposure can so-called prime the system more and more, and you become very hypersensitive to it upon subsequent exposures, such that your later exposures produce much worse symptoms than your initial one or two exposures, and then those symptoms persist. And so really trying to get ahead of them, getting ahead of the symptoms early is one of the reasons that they want people to start using their medications, maybe perhaps a little bit advance of the allergy season hitting full swing.
So what we're really dealing with here, the allergy, the symptoms, the external symptoms that we see, is basically our body trying to defend itself against something foreign, and that's really what we're looking at.
Correct. And each individual person, unfortunately, has a different susceptibility to this, and the body detects these substances, and in the case of seasonal allergies, it's a pollen or some form like that that's present in the environment as things warm up and grasses and trees come into bloom. Our body senses that, and it's foreign, and it just triggers this immune response that propagates and causes the variety of symptoms.
Well, we need to take a break and catch up on the news, but we will continue our discussion with our two pharmacists here on today's program. John Dopp, Associate Professor of CHS at the University of Wisconsin Madison School of Pharmacy, and Casey Gallimore, Associate Professor, CHS at the University of Wisconsin Medical School of Pharmacy. And we'll continue our conversation about, allergies. We are in the allergy season, but other things related to pharmacy as well here on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson, in for Larry Mueller. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. More to come after the news on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to The Larry Mueller Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, I'm John Munson, in for Larry Mueller today. We're exploring treatments for seasonal allergies on today's program and answering your prescription questions. My guests today are Drs. John Dopp and Casey Gallimore. They're both associate professors at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Pharmacy. So how do you deal with the allergy season? Or do you have questions about prescriptions? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also share your stories on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page or tweet at us. We are at L Mueller Show. Casey and John, it's great to have you with us today. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll start in Green Bay this time. Sarah is on the phone. Sarah, hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about prescriptions. I know personally I've had doctors, give me a prescription. I have several allergies. I get to the pharmacy to fulfill that prescription, and the pharmacist is the one that catches the allergy and says, you know, you're not supposed to take this. So I really do hold a lot of faith with our pharmacist. My question is in regards to my daughter. She is on a lot of different prescriptions. The doctors have also prescribed various supplements such as, you know, vitamins, minerals, you know, different over-the-counter supplements. I've tried to talk to the pharmacist about how do I know, you know, if there's any drug interaction. You know, the pharmacist is telling me they need a prescription in order to enter it into the computer. The doctor's telling me they can't write a prescription for the supplements because technically they are not FDA approved. So without a prescription to give to the pharmacist can't tell me if there's going to be any drug interactions. And I'm wondering, you know, there's got to be a way around this. I can't be the only person in this situation.
Sarah, thanks so much for that call. So what should she do?
All right. Well, it's great that you're thinking about the interactions between the prescriptions and the supplements, because as I mentioned previously, there definitely can be interactions, and not to say a lot of supplements aren't very safe. One thing that you can do, and you know, maybe going to another pharmacy or talking to another pharmacist, but there are interaction checkers outside of just the prescription system that you put prescriptions through. That's something that I use in clinic a lot. And a lot of the common supplements, you know, vitamins, minerals, those types of things are in the interaction checker. So there definitely is a way and validated databases for pharmacists to check on those things. And so it would be helpful if you had a compiled list. You don't necessarily need to have the prescription, but a compiled list of the names, possibly dosages on the bottles that you're administering to your daughter at home. If that was in one common place, it would be fairly easy for a pharmacist or a doctor, for that matter, to check on the interactions.
Thanks so much for that call, Sarah, and good luck in your research. Let's go to Sturgeon Bay next. Stella is on the phone with us. Stella, hello.
Hi. I called with one suggestion, and I'd like to just, in response to the previous caller, we take a lot of nutritional supplements, and what we do is we just put labels on a sheet of paper, and anytime we go to any medical practitioner, we just hand them the sheet, and it has all the suggested usage, you know, quantity, and all the ingredients list. It's a real simple way of taking in the information that her pharmacist wants. But what I called about is I have had for a number of years a pretty severe allergy to lilacs in the spring. And a few, 3 years ago, I read about a suggestion, which I started trying, a non-pharmacological one that has worked beautifully. I don't have, for the last 3 years, I haven't had any problem at all with lilacs. And that is to eat a teaspoon, and in my case, a generous teaspoon, of locally produced honey a day. And you get micro doses of pollen from the honey, because the bees are picking up honey or pollen all over in the production of the honey, and it works. It for me, it has worked beautifully.
Stella, what an interesting thing, Dr. Gallimore. I would think that this is another example of one of those non-pharmaceutical treatments that people use. So, what do you think? Local honey as a solution to her lilac allergy problem?
Yeah, that's very interesting. And actually, John wants to take this one, so I'm going to send this one over to him.
Yeah, that is Stella. It's an interesting point you brought up, and I'm glad it's been helpful for you. The honey may have been effective for you if the bees in your area were collecting pollen from lilac flowers. And so in that individual circumstance, it may have been effective. What's interesting is when you look at this method on a wider scale, it tends to be the studies that have been done have been looking at, does it help seasonal allergies and not an allergy to lilacs per se, but seasonal allergies, which tend to be more related to weeds and grasses and trees. And traditionally, the honey has not been very effective when looked at in the studies that have been done, because the bees are taking in pollen from bright colored flowers and not from trees and weeds and grasses necessarily. And so if there is pollen in the honey, it's a pollen from bright colored flowers. Now, it's possible in your case, the bees were taking in lilac pollen, but I think it's hard to know exactly how much they were doing. And I think there's a caution that should be used with that. Local honey is honey that you could get somewhere that's not been processed. And generally it's fine, but there are dangers. Sometimes there's bee parts in there. There can even be small trace amounts of bee venom. Depending on the source and the storage and everything, there can be mold in there. And so individuals can have adverse reactions to local honey. It's not extremely common, but it could happen. And obviously the worst case scenario would be an individual who has an allergy to bee stings, and they get some bee venom or bee parts in the honey, and that could trigger an allergic reaction. So in your case, it seems like a very specific instance where it was fortunately helpful, but I just wanted to make sure I mentioned some of the broader concerns with that, and that overall for seasonal allergies, they found it to not be effective. It's kind of similar to the call before that Tiffany had called in about the allergy shots. Is this is immunotherapy. The difference is in immunotherapy, they've isolated out the specific allergen or substance, and in honey, you're getting a shotgun of all kinds of different pollens, and so it's probably not quite as effective.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that seems to crop up, and we had a caller earlier, and we've got a caller we're going to go to in just a moment, is we kind of our bodies change over time. Maybe things that we were allergic to or allergy problems we might have had, our sensitivities can change over time. We had a caller earlier who couldn't stay on, who talked about her husband having had a bone marrow transplant, and after that his allergies went away. And now we've got Kyle in Menominee who has had allergies before, and this has changed. Kyle, go ahead, tell us your story.
Hi. So I grew up in the country, and I've always had a lot of exposure to the outdoors, anything under the sun. Avid outdoorsman and hunter, so I've walked in tall grass and all that type of stuff, but never had any allergies, but in my early 20s, I started to get an itchy throat and dry, or like itchy eyes. Very mild for small amounts of time, half hour or something. Never took any medication, and as it just would crop up here and there, very, not in the spring, times of the summer, it just really varied. But I went up to my brother's land up in Menominee, Wisconsin area, and I had a very, during the summer, midsummer, very severe allergy attack. My face got all puffy, throat really dry, eyes were just inflamed. Like, my whole top of my face was, like, swollen. Took some Benadryl and went away, but I have not had any sort of allergy since then, or itchy throat or of any kind. So my question is, can you get allergies for a certain period of time and have it go away permanently, or?
Mm-hmm. Kyle, thanks for the question. What about it? Our bodies adapt? Do our allergies go away, or is this something that's just we're just going to be stuck with?
The body is incredibly resilient and does adapt, and the immune system is no different. Examples of this would be, for example, children frequently experience immune-based skin disorders in childhood, and as they age, they grow out of them. An example would be something similar to or something like eczema, right? Unfortunately, then there are examples of where that can come back later in life. So there are fluctuations in our body's ability or in our body's sensitivity to various things over time. And I imagine stress and age and other factors can play a role in that. One factor that I'm afraid I didn't get if it was clear from Kyle's story was if it was a new allergen he was exposed to when he went up to Menominee and that was why he had the reaction, and if subsequently he hasn't necessarily been exposed to a unique allergen that may have been up there. That may also be part of it, is that allergens are not equally distributed across all latitudes. Menominee is actually a fair ways three hours north or so from here, so their flora and trees and grasses may be slightly different, and particularly the property he was at may have exposed him mm-hmm. to some different allergens.
Sure. And that brings up an interesting point. We have a lot of snowbirds in Wisconsin, people who go to Florida or Arizona for a good portion of the winter, and they can run into some different flora there and maybe have allergies triggered that they didn't experience here in the Badger State, couldn't they?
Yeah, I think that would be correct as well. And then also just to add on to that, you know, not just geographic location, but even if you're in the same city, but let's say you move apartments or you move to a different house, things other than pollen can cause allergies, like dust mites, mold that might be growing in the house. So even if it seems like these allergies have developed or gotten better and you've been in the same location, looking at some other things related to your environment and how those might have changed and how that might change your exposure to antigens as well, or allergens.
800-642-1234. John Dopp and Casey Gallimore are here to answer your questions about pharmaceuticals. We're talking about allergies because, well, spring is pretty much here, although the weather outside today is definitely maybe feeling a little bit more like winter, still hasn't loosened its grip on us, but it is the allergy season. We've been talking about that, but by no means is that the only thing we'll discuss relating to your need for a pharmacy and the services of a pharmacist. So give us a call, 800-642-1234. We had a caller from Hudson, Carol, who called in earlier, couldn't stay with us. Carol's question was about the danger of overdosing. She has multiple allergies and uses multiple medications to get relief. What are some of the cautions that she should observe when, you know, she's got different medications? How would she go about avoiding taking too much of something?
Sure. So that's a great thing to be thinking about as well when you're on multiple medications. In terms of specifically the allergy medications, a lot of the allergy medications, as long as you're taking medications that are out of different classes or that work differently, combination medication is generally okay, and it is one of those things that they recommend. If you're taking, you know, an oral antihistamine like the Claritin and that's not working on its own, you know, adding something like a nasal steroid on can be very effective. You just want to make sure that you're not taking two antihistamines. Another thing I'd recommend is, because a lot of these products can be bought over the counter, is make sure that you're looking at the dosing recommendations for the age, whether it's a child or an adult patient in this case, and make sure you're not exceeding the max recommended per day or the dosing interval. One of the biggest side effects and things to watch out with antihistamines are probably the biggest offending medication in that class in terms of side effects, especially medications like Benadryl. Some of the older antihistamines can cause a lot of drowsiness, a lot of something that we call anticholinergic side effects, which is, you know, dry mouth, dry eyes, can make it more difficult for you to go to the bathroom. Making sure that you aren't using those if you're also on other prescription medications that are extremely sedating or have those same type of anticholinergic effects.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that question, Carol. Let's go next to Chris in Wisconsin Dells. Chris, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. I won't be sported. I have my grill lit with wood to barbecue tonight, and I am gardening. Anyway, I grew up in a family of real avid flower gardeners, and I had horrible, horrible respiratory allergies when I was a child and tried all of the regular things. When I was 28 years old, I went to see a naturopath, and she took one look at me and said, "You have a food allergy, and we're going to figure out what it is." It took 5 minutes, cost me $60. It didn't hurt. And when she figured out that I was allergic to grains, which are grasses, I no longer have any respiratory allergies. And the reason I called in is because an awful lot of people have to give up their pets and put them in shelters because somebody's kid has developed respiratory allergies. Have your children tested for food allergies. You get rid of the histamine reaction in your body, and everything else just goes away.
Chris, thanks for that call. What about, again, this would be more of a non-traditional approach to allergies. Casey, is this something you want to talk about?
Sure. I don't know that there's a lot of evidence behind some of the homeopathic, natural pathic medications that she's mentioning. Not to say that they can't be effective. Those are really challenging areas to study, and often they're not areas that are focus of study when it comes to clinical trials. So it's hard to say that there's a lot of trial evidence supporting that. But certainly if this is a patient that wants to avoid medications, it would be something to explore, or maybe they've gone through all the medications, but they're not really ready for, you know, the immunotherapy, the allergy shots. As long as it's safe, I would say that that's something that could be tried. John, do you have any other ideas?
No, not really. As long as you're running, you're keeping your pharmacist and your physician in the loop about any supplements or naturopathic products that you're taking so they can have a chance to evaluate them with regards to your other medications and the medical conditions that you have. First, we're just trying to make sure that something that you're going to be taking is not doing some harm that we're not aware of.
Chris, thanks for the call. Let's go to Brookfield, and David is with us next. David, hello.
Ah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I know you're not going to recommend this, and I'm not going to do it, but Public Radio ran one of the weekend shows, ran a study a few years ago, or maybe 2 years ago, about tapeworms and how humans had evolved with tapeworms. And so these autoimmune reactions, guy went to Africa, did some things to make sure he got tapeworms, and it completely calmed his system down. He had allergies, pollen allergies, completely solved it. But they were talking about how other autoimmune reactions, Crohn's disease, and those kind of things were solved by ingesting tapeworms and giving yourself tapeworms, and that somehow those tapeworms secreted something that calmed your autoimmune system down so that your body didn't get rid of them. Anyway, I'll take the comments off.
Okay. Here. David, thanks thanks for that one. Either one of you heard about using tapeworms to solve your allergy problems?
Yeah, I heard that. So I think David and I have heard the same program on that. And I was interested by it. A friend of mine had clued me into it, and so I wanted to look it up further. It was the specific information I was interested in was about allergies and about asthma. And so they took that information, and in Great Britain, they designed some clinical studies to be done, which was great because they took something that they had witnessed sort of anecdotally out in the field and designed a good clinical trial and looked at whether or not the use of tapeworm reduced asthma or reduced allergy symptoms. And I would like to say that from the data that I had looked at, this was about a year or so ago, so perhaps there's something more recent that's come out, but I'd say about a year or so ago, looking at these studies that had been done out of Great Britain, was that they had not been as effective as they had hoped. There had been small benefit, but the amount of individual benefit that this gentleman had described and that other individuals had described, they hadn't seen it sort of comprehensively in all the patients in the study, which leads me to believe that if it is going to be effective, there are very specific individuals where it would be effective, a very certain type of, we use the word phenotype of individual who would present with certain symptoms and have a certain pathology. So I guess in all patients, it's maybe not a wonder cure, but in individuals, it may be effective. But at this time, we certainly don't advocate the taking of tapeworms.
Well, it comes down to the old research aphorism, the plural of anecdote is not data.
Right, exactly. In this case, that bore that out all too well.
Well, let's try and get one more call in. Bill from Zion, Illinois, you'll have to be quick because we're almost out of time. Bill, go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm 71 years old, and I'm taking 8 prescription medications and 4 supplements. And I have wondered for a long time if I'm taking them correctly. I don't know specifically the time of day to take them. I don't know if I'm taking A and B together. They're canceling each other out. Is there some kind of medical professional who can take my list of medications and supplements and say, okay, this is how you should take these?
Yeah, I can go ahead and answer that one. I mean, the easiest way to get in would be to go see your pharmacist where you pick the medications up. Even if you get them from a mail order pharmacy, going into your local community pharmacy and talking with the pharmacist. If you have the full list, or better yet, bring all of the bottles in, the pharmacist is really able to go through those medications, tell you when you're supposed to take them. A lot of pharmacies, too, have pill boxes, and so that's something to consider as well if you're having difficulty figuring out exactly when to take things, is having a pharmacist help you set that up, and that can make the dosing very easy, but they can also tell you, you know, whether certain medications should and can safely be taken together as well.
Yeah, I have a pill minder, and it's divided AM and PM, and boy, that really helps keep me organized to make sure I get the right stuff at the right time of day. We've just got just a few moments left. I wanted to just ask one last question. One of the services pharmacists offer is a med review. Would one of you please take about 30 seconds and tell us about that?
Sure. I'll briefly talk about it and maybe if I'll leave Casey some time, but a med review is a process where a pharmacist collects all the information about each medication you're taking, including prescription and non-prescription. Additional to that would be supplements and natural medications, and does a thorough review to make sure that, A, there are not any adverse reactions or allergies that you've had to these medications. B, they look for drug interactions or interactions with the supplements over the counter agents. And then lastly, they look and they design a way for you to take them to minimize that or talk to your prescriber. And then lastly, it would be to look at medications to make sure aren't worsening any of your other medical conditions. There are certain medications that could worsen one of your medical conditions. So pharmacists can do that and more to really keep you on the right track.
And we're all out of time. Thank you, John Dobb, Casey Gallimore, for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thanks to Brianne Schossow for producing this program and handling on-air production. Appreciate it. And appreciate all the callers and all the listeners. I'm John Munson in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network.